Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Hope you had a good weekend. Coming up next on the show, on Friday, after we left, the mayor of New Orleans, the tax cheat of a mayor, LaTaxta Cantrell, some call her LaToilet Cantrell. I know a lot of bar owners are calling her that because whatever comes out of her mouth stinks. It's crap. After we left here, after we did our show on Friday, she had a press conference where she now closed all the bars. Before, she really hurt the bars by saying you couldn't sit at a bar in New Orleans and drink because the spread of coronavirus was, she didn't like the numbers. It was spreading too much. So after we left here, she had a press conference on Friday where she went even farther with the bars. She said they can't even serve drinks in to-go cups. They can't even serve takeout drinks. She even said the drive-through daiquiri shops had to close. Really, really hurting the bars here in New Orleans. We're going to get to that coming up. That's at 6:05. But Portland, Oregon is still every night now. It's almost 2 months straight. It's almost 60 nights in a row where there are protesters. Some call them protests in Portland, Oregon. Others call them riots. And we've talked about the difference. You know, we're all for protesting here on this radio show. It's our First Amendment right. But there's a big difference. It's not even a fine line. It's a thick, large line. There's a big difference between protesting and rioting. When something leaves someone a protester's hand, that's on fire. When something on fire leaves a protester's hand, that's not protesting anymore. That's rioting. And rioting is that's such criminal activity. Protesting is not. Rioting is. But it's been going on now in Portland for every night for two straight months. And I know our president has sent in federal troops and people that are fans of protesting. They're not happy with our president for sending in the federal troops. At this point now, some of the federal troops have actually been blinded, some permanently blinded with lasers that the protesters or the rioters, however you want to look at them, have used to combat the federal troops. Call that what you want. But that's what's happening in Portland right now. There's one woman. She's a college professor. And now she's an author. And her name is Dr. Robin DiAngelo. She wrote a book called White Fragility or White Fragility. How would you say that, Coleman? I think that's fragility. F-A-R. G-I-L-I-T-Y.
Fragility.
That's fragility?
Mm-hmm.
White fragility. It's a book that's at the top of the list now with the New York Times best-selling books lists. Her name is Dr. Robin DiAngelo. She is literally making, and she has made, millions of dollars talking about how white people have such an advantage in this country, and how everybody, and when I say everybody, she says that every white person has to be racist, even if they don't know it. And that's how much white privilege is in our society. She has literally made, and she's white, she's made millions and millions of dollars telling people, white people in America, that every white person is racist. And if you don't understand that, that proves the point that you're racist. And again, her book is called White Fragility. And it's sold millions of copies. She makes anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000 for a 1-hour speech. and everything she speaks. Again, she's white. And she's making all of this money. She's made millions of dollars telling people, white people, that we're all racist. And if we don't believe that and don't understand it, that proves the point that we're all racist. And again, she gets $50,000 a speech. Her book has sold millions of copies. And she's making all of this money saying one thing. How every white person is racist. There's white privilege in this country. And I was just on her Instagram page. She travels the world on vacation all of the time. And all of the people that she's with, she posts pictures of her and her friends, and every one of them is white. And again, her name is Dr. Robin DiAngelo. And I just thought, wow, talk about irony.
Do you think she really believes it, or you think she just found a niche and she just found the market and she's taking advantage of it?
That's a great question, Goldman.
It seems to me like, man, I could kind of take advantage of this. And she just wrote some books and people sold into it and she's just living a life.
I have a lot of cousins. Mm-hmm. My mother's side of the family, my grandmother on that side, my grandmother had 13 sisters and brothers. So I have lots of cousins. One of my cousins firmly believes in this woman. This cousin of mine happens to be a lesbian. And she firmly believes that every white American is racist. And it's because of this book, and it's because of other things that this author has said that my cousin feels this way. But I just found it ironic how this woman is make you talk about white privilege. Don't you think that is white privilege?
No, she wrote a book. People bought it. She earned the money. I mean, I can't.
She goes farther than that. She then goes on to make speeches where she gets $50,000 a speech for an hour. Don't you think, as a white woman, that's white privilege?
No.
I think she is the definition of everything she's trying to prove.
But is she aware of it, though? Is she just oblivious? That's the point I want to know. Does she know that she's getting away with this? Like, she found a niche? She found some people that she could dupe into buying her books, and she's taking advantage of those people? Do you really believe that if you tell her, hey, look, you made all this money off these books, she's going to be like, exactly, because I'm white. See, I told you the privilege exists. And if that's the case, well, how about you take some of that money and give it back?
supposedly, she donates to all of these social justice and these racial firms. But now there's some other journalists who are looking into her background, and they don't see the money that she says she's donating. Again, her name is Dr. Robin DiAngelo. She's a best-selling author of a book called White Fragility. It sold millions of copies, and she goes around now, and not only has she made tons of money that way, she's the one who is saying that every white American, if you're white and you were born and brought up in this country, in the United States, you have to be racist, because just the way the system is set up here in this country. And if you're not racist, you don't know it, and it's proving her point that means every white person in this country is racist. She's made millions of dollars saying that, and she continues to say it, and she continues to make lots of money. And I just thought it's pretty ironic that is white privilege right there. And
I don't buy into what she believes in, but she did write a book. People buy it. She earned the money. That's all I can say.
Nah, I just found the whole thing fascinating. All right, coming up next. Boy, oh boy. I'm telling you, half the restaurants and bars in New Orleans that have closed down, they're never going to reopen. And if we're lucky, it's only half. I feel so sorry for those bar and restaurant owners. Stay tuned for the latest coming up on that here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Hope you had a good weekend. When we got out of here after our show on Friday, the mayor of New Orleans, Letaxta Cantrell, and I go back and forth between calling her Letaxta because over the last decade, she hasn't paid her federal income taxes. Actually, she only paid them one year, the year she ran for mayor here and won. But she owes the IRS, the federal government, her and her husband, upwards of $100,000. I think it's over $100,000 now. I know before this year, it was over $90,000 but I don't think she's paid her federal income taxes this year either. And so you could say now she's into triple digits, $100,000 that she owes the IRS. And I've always wondered, what would happen to me? Coleman, what would happen to you if you're listening right now? What would happen to you if you went 10 years and you only paid your federal income taxes 1 year out of those 10 years? What would happen to you? How haven't they come after her yet? Yeah, anyways, LaTaxta Cantrell. I also called her LaTweeta Cantrell because she loves Twitter. She loves to tweet. And many people call her LaToilet Cantrell because anything that comes out of her mouth these days is crap. But she had a press conference on Friday after our show was over, after we left here for the weekend. And she said that bars will now not be able to sell to-go drinks. And that was the only thing that was a lot of bar owners were holding on to here in New Orleans, because a couple of weeks before that, she said, even if bars serve food, they cannot serve alcohol at the bar. No one can sit at the bar here in New Orleans to have a drink. And this is all because the coronavirus numbers are rising. More people are getting tested, and there are more cases of coronavirus. And she says that through contact tracing, she believes, and the other authorities here in New Orleans believe, that the coronavirus numbers are rising because of bars, because bars are open. And even though you can't sit at the bars the last couple of weeks, bars were serving drinks through their windows or through the front door in to-go cups. But now on Friday, she said no more of that for the foreseeable future.
But that just proves that contact tracing, their method is flawed. Because the way it seems how it goes is, when somebody gets tested for coronavirus, they ask them where they've been. And they just list where they've been in the last, whatever, 3 days, 4 days.
And they got to give them their phone number.
And their phone number. The thing is, if most people have gone to the bars, that's going to be the common denominator, even though you didn't necessarily catch the virus. You may have catched the virus from Walmart. But if you say, yeah, I've been to Walmart, I've been to the bar, and I've been to the park, okay, then somebody else may have gotten the virus at a park. And then they ask, well, where have you been? Well, I've been to the bar, I've been to the park, I've been to the gas station. Well, if everybody has been to the bar at one point or the other, the common denominator is, oh, it must be the bars. Even though nobody may have gotten from the bars, if everybody says they've been to a bar at one point or another, they will say, well, based on the contact tracing survey, it seems like people are getting it from bars, even though that might not be the case.
Well, Coleman, we know that this virus, COVID-19, coronavirus, it's very smart, because nobody seems to get it at Walmart. Mm-hmm. No, nobody seems to get it at Home Depot or Lowe's.
Mm-mm.
No one seems to get it at drugstores. They only seem to get it.
Well, at, fun happens.
At bars.
Bars, parties, graduation parties,
yeah,
pool parties, barbecues. Only... Well, fun happens, yeah.
Well, now, and this is awful. I mean, because the to-go cup, the getting your drink to go, that was so indigenous to New Orleans. And we were basically, I think, one of only two places in the country here in Louisiana where you could do that. But now you can't even do that, because they're saying that that's how coronavirus is spreading. And I don't understand. I don't understand how a drive-through daiquiri shop, when you they close them down too, how you could, in your car, driving through, just like you drive through any other fast food restaurant, any other drive-through place. Now you can't even do that. Get a daiquiri to go, because she shut those down too. And I don't understand how.
I don't follow the logic. So let's say, first of all, the taking your to-go cup, your drink and to-go cup. If the vendor who is selling you your alcohol has a mask on and gloves, and you're buying the alcohol with the mask and gloves, then they hand you your alcohol with a lid and a straw, because they can't give you an open container, how does that spread the virus? Or if you're going through the drive-thru and you're in your car, and the person in the drive-thru has a mask on, and once again, they have to hand you alcohol with a lid on it. It can't be an open container. How's that different from getting a Sprite or a Coke from any other drive-thru?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But boy, you talk about taking away what was left for some of these poor bar owners to try to stay afloat.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what the owner of the Avenue Pub on St. Charles Avenue did over the weekend? And I love the Avenue Pub on St. Charles Avenue. We've had some good times in there, Coleman, over the years. But the owner there said that she, before 6 a.m. on Saturday, had to sell $7,000 worth of beer, worth of alcohol. Her name's Polly Watts. She needed by 6 a.m. because that's when all of this came to an end. That's when the bars had to lock up their doors because they couldn't even serve to-go cups anymore. The owner of the the Avenue Pub on St. Charles Avenue, Polly Watts, said she needed to sell $7,000 worth of beer that she was stocking to pay for her employees' health insurance through the months of August and September. And I know a bunch of people showed up there late Friday night, early Saturday morning, to try to help her with that goal, accomplish that goal. But this is what we're looking at now. And so many bar owners, the last thing that they had, since people couldn't sit at their bars, people couldn't come in, all right, well, we'll still try to survive this by serving to-go cups of alcohol through our windows or through our front doorway. And now even that's gone. And it
just seems so strange to me that it's only bars and nothing else. Something about that just doesn't sit well. It doesn't seem to be about the virus anymore. This seems to be a personal attack on people having fun that like to get drunk and have fun on the weekends. It just seems so personal now. I don't know why. Nothing else. Nothing like no Popeye's drive-thru, no other restaurants that serve alcohol, no Walmart's or Lowe's, no protests, just people that have fun.
No.
Like just bars specifically. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, this is where we're at right now. Is we hope that those coronavirus numbers come down here, but that's where we're at. And I just feel awful for all the employees at these places, the owners who have done everything they could to masks, hand sanitizer, social distancing, but because you see groups of people walking around Bourbon Street without masks, without social distancing, we've seen that over the last few weekends. That's why this is the latest move by our mayor, Latax de Cantrell, as she continues to crack down on the fun, the bars, and even the to-go drinks. Totally sucks.
For a virus that has a 99% recovery rate.
Yeah. Coming up on the show, boy, did you see the shooting that happened yesterday in New Orleans after a fender bender? We'll get to that. We have a lot to do on the show today. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. You know, rock and roll is confusing to some people. When that song came out, Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen, there's a lot of people that said that was a pro-America song. But then if you listen to the lyrics, it really was not a pro-America song. And then when the Seattle scene happened some years later, many people thought Nirvana was the one who came out of Seattle first and kicked the door down for all the other bands. Well, they may have kicked the door down for all the other bands, but they didn't come out first. Before Nirvana was known to everybody, Alice in Chains, they were touring the country. They were opening for Van Halen. And people were like, wow, who's this new band out of Seattle? So you shouldn't be confused by rock and roll. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Yesterday, right before noontime, on a rainy, late Sunday morning, there was a car crash in New Orleans. It was on South Claiborne Avenue. As a matter of fact, right near the restaurant, Chicken and Watermelon. I love that place. The reason I'm bringing up this car accident is because, again, this happened right on the intersection of South Claiborne Avenue and 4th Street, which is Central City, which is the worst, most dangerous neighborhood in the city of New Orleans. Two cars hit each other, all right? One guy got out of the car, one of the cars, and he shot and killed the other guy. And then he left. It's a car crash in New Orleans. Police still don't know what happened. But, again, this is right before noontime yesterday, Sunday. It was raining. It was a fender bender. It happens all over the place. But in this particular case, one of the guys in one of the cars got out of the car, shot and killed the guy that was in the other car.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, we don't still don't know exactly whose fault the accident was, but the New Orleans police they say they have no motive for the killing. It makes you wonder if these guys knew each other, or if this just happened to be a bad Sunday in New Orleans, where these guys just happened to get in a fender bender, and one of them got out, and I'm going to shoot and kill the other guy, and he left.
Maybe it's a harsh case of road rage.
Mm. And like I said, it was on South Claiborne Avenue, right near the restaurant, Chicken and Watermelon. Coleman, you've had Chicken and Watermelon, haven't you?
Yes, once.
Because I know you're a big chicken wing guy.
Yeah.
When we go out, you like to try the chicken wings, even though one of your jobs is you work for a chicken wing place. You deliver chicken wings on the West Bank, and that always fascinated me. No matter where we went to eat, you would want to try the chicken wings at some other place. I would think to myself, aren't you sick of chicken wings by now?
No, when you like something, you like it. Plus, you have to know what the competition's up to as well. I call that quality control.
And so, but you've had the wings of Chicken and Watermelon. That's the name of the restaurant.
Chicken and Watermelon is my favorite restaurant. It's on South Claiborne Avenue. Chicken and Watermelon is all I want. Whether it's 8 p.m. or high noon, I just love chicken and watermelon. I just love chicken and watermelon. 17 sauces are off the hook, including Boogie Bird and Jerk. Man, these people can really cook. The Obama punches will quench your thirst. I just love chicken and watermelon. Yeah. I love chicken and watermelon.
I wonder if any of the guys who were driving those cars that got in the accident yesterday near there, I wonder if they were heading to Chicken and Watermelon to get some wings.
Tasty stuff, yeah.
Really good. Well, anyways, the NOPD, they're still trying to figure out who did this and why, and they're looking for the guys. Be careful if you're driving around New Orleans. Boy, I love Chicken and Watermelon. That's some good wings. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Boy, this keeps happening. Now in West Palm Beach, Florida, a 27-year-old female teacher who taught immigrants was arrested for doing sex with a 17-year-old male student. The victim has broken his silence. He said in an interview, God bless America. You're on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And I think as we sit here in the summer of the year 2020, there's a new saying that has become, I think, the catchphrase of the year. And that's, damn, my bleeping mask. Have you found yourself saying that yet? There's a couple of times that I've said that recently where you got to grab it and put it on. And when you see what's happening in different places all over the country when it comes to people wearing masks and people not wearing masks during the coronavirus summer of 2020, out in San Francisco, a bus driver was beaten with a baseball bat after he asked passengers to wear masks. Yeah, somebody, and we've seen lots of videos. We've put them up on our website, BayOU957.com, of people freaking out over masks, whether to wear them or whether they're not wearing them, in different stores and different places all over the country. But in San Francisco, a bus driver just got beaten with a baseball bat for asking passengers to wear masks. It's interesting. So a passenger actually didn't bring a mask onto the bus, but did bring a baseball bat on
Hi-ya!
To the bus. Yeah, he asked three passengers to put on face masks to comply with their city's coronavirus public health order. And they didn't want to do that. And so one of them had a baseball bat and proceeded to beat the bus driver with a baseball bat.
He should be eligible for workers' compensation then, right?
You would think, Holman. I saw this other story where a woman wearing a mask maced someone who wasn't wearing a mask outside in a dog park. I mean, they were outside. Not inside. Outside at a dog park. And this woman who was wearing a mask was very, very upset that this couple was not wearing a mask. And she maced them. The woman starts crying. This happened in California as well. They're going crazy in California when it comes
going
to the mask.
Going crazy. They've been there already.
Oh, yeah, they've already been nuts. A woman maced a California couple for not wearing masks while eating at a dog park.
So she wanted them to eat with the mask on?
Well, this happened at a dog park in Ocean Beach, OB. That's right next to San Diego, California. This happened late last week. So you've got people on both sides of the mask argument. You've got, in that first story, you've got the people on the bus that didn't want to wear the mask, so they beat the bus driver with a baseball bat. And then here, you have a woman who's wearing a mask at a dog park outside. She sees a couple of people eating in the dog park who aren't wearing masks, and she walked up to them. And she maced them, and then the woman started crying, and then the somebody else was screaming.
You would think the people at the dog park would be more lenient, because most people that own dogs, they let the dogs sleep in their bed, they let them eat food off their plate, they let the dogs lick them all in their face. So you think they'd be more lenient towards how germs are spread, right? So they let the dog do all the stuff to them, but then when they see another human without wearing a mask eating, they're like freaked out. Ah! But meanwhile, you're going to go home, let the dog lick you all kind of weird spots.
You know, Coleman, we've talked about this before on the radio, how you're a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something, white people and black people are different when it comes to letting their pets lick them, especially on their faces, because we've talked about this. You said that's not something that most black people are down with. Meanwhile, white people, they have no problem with letting their dogs lick their faces after.
I'm not sure it's a racial thing, but I do have friends, and it seems like the ones that are white are more lenient to what they allow their animals to get away with as far as personal contact. I've seen people let the dogs literally eat their off the spoon, and then they'll take that same spoon that they just fed the dog with and scrape their food and eat. Like, it's like, what?
I've seen that too.
Like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, speaking of masks, last week, Walmart and many other stores in America, including Target, CVS, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walgreens, they all now, those national stores, they all say you got to wear a mask on when you're inside the store. But Walmart just announced yesterday that they are not going to enforce the mask rule inside Walmarts because they fear that their staff could be attacked by shoppers that are angry about being told to wear masks, much like that bus driver in San Francisco. People who refuse to wear face masks will still be served in Walmart and many of those other stores, despite all of those stores imposing their new mask rules, because they want to avoid physical confrontation.
I think that's smart.
So this is where we're at here on July 27th in the year 2020. This sucks. And I do think that there is a new phrase that has become the most popular phrase of the summer of 2020, and that's, damn, my bleeping mask. Whether you forgot it or just forgot to put it on. I know I've said that a few times over the last couple of weeks.
So here's a funny story of what happened. I left my house because I needed something out of Walmart. So I drove all the way to Walmart. And then I parked. I got out of my car, walked all the way to the Walmart entrance, realized I forgot my mask, and I said the phrase, oh, bleep, my mask. So I walked all the way back to the car. I forgot why I walked back to the car and got in my car and went home and didn't even go into the Walmart. Then when I got home, I'm like, wait, didn't I just get this from Walmart? Then I realized, no, I didn't even go into the Walmart because I had to go back and get my mask and forgot why I went back to the car and just went home. So that was a blank trip.
That's what masks are doing to people. They're literally making people lose their minds, beat people with baseball bats, mace people.
And make you lose your gas.
And look, I don't like wearing them, but if they say wearing them is going to save some lives and going to stop coronavirus from spreading, we've mentioned this. They've said that if every American wears a mask outside, no matter where they go, that in 4 to 6 weeks, coronavirus will stop spreading. And that's what they're telling us. I'm no fan of it either. But boy, it's mask hysteria here in the United States of America. Let us know. Text us. Are you wearing your mask or are you not wearing your mask? Have you gotten into any issues? Text us at 260-9595. Keep it short and sweet. Please don't text while you're driving. And put either your first name or your initials at the end of your text. If it's good, we'll read it on the show. Have you been caught up in any of this mask hysteria? Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So we're only a few days away from the extra $600 a week that people have been getting because of coronavirus on top of the unemployment checks. We're only a few days away from that coming to an end. There are some people freaking out, saying they don't know what they're going to do. Do you realize, though, 68% of those people who are getting the extra $600 a week on top of the regular unemployment, 68% of them, that's more money than they make at their jobs. And see, that's an issue because why would people go back to their jobs if they can get more money for not working? And so that's coming to an end. The government is going to do something about that coming up. We'll tell you what they're going to do. I think they're going to make an announcement today, but there is some good news coming there. But people got to go back to work. But we have some details coming up for you here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. You see who died? This is a, even though today's Monday, it's a threefer. It's threefer Monday. We've got three people here who died over the weekend. Regis Philbin. He died. Do you know that Regis Philbin holds the Guinness World Record for the most hours on United States television?
Did not know that.
Regis Philbin... He was a big Notre Dame fan because he went to Notre Dame. And then after he got out of Notre Dame, he served in the United States Navy. And then after his stint in the Navy, he came back and it was in the mid-late 60s where he had an ill-fated late-night talk show with one of the Rat Pack guys, Joey Bishop. But that's where he got his big break, because even though that show failed, people, television executives saw him on that show, and then they got him on television hosting daytime shows and such. Later in life, he was known for being the host of the game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? We're giving away another $1 million. Who wants to win another $1 million? And then he was also the host of the daytime show, Regis and Kathy Lee, with Kathy Lee Gifford. And then she left, and they brought on Kelly Ripa.
Kelly Ripa.
And it was, now I'm with Kelly. It was Regis and Kelly. And then he left, and now she's still doing the show. But Regis Philbin, he died 1 month before his 89th birthday. But Regis Philbin dead at the age of 88. You see who else died over the weekend? Actress Olivia de Havilland. She was the last surviving cast member of the movie Gone with the Wind. She was 104. And besides being in Gone with the Wind, Olivia de Havilland was also in the movie Robin Hood with Errol Flynn. I mean, look at that. Here's a woman that was in a movie with Clark Gable and Errol Flynn. Those guys have been gone forever, and she's still around. And another thing about Olivia de Havilland, she led the way when it came to actors and actresses who said, we need a new way of life here in Hollywood. Because when those movies happened, actors and actresses, they were signed like ball players to contracts with studios.
Ah.
And so she led the way saying, you know, we have to stop this being under contract to one studio, you know, either MGM or Universal.
Like record labels, yeah.
Or Columbia, yeah. And she led the way saying, we need to be free agents. We should be able to go do any movie anytime we want with any studio. And because of her leading the way, that old studio system was thrown out, and actors and actresses were able to go do whatever movies they wanted with whatever studios they wanted.
How awesome would that be if that worked for every industry? Like, you know what? I feel like quarterbacking for the Ravens this weekend. I don't feel like quarterback. Like, if every industry said, instead of signing or committing to one team or one studio, like a record label, you know, I'm going to rap for Big Boy this week, but then I'm going to rap for Oregon Records this week. You know, so that would be awesome if you would be able to just go wherever you want to go, wherever the money flows, right?
Well, you know, after that, Coleman, free agency in baseball was long after Olivia de Havilland led the way for free agency for actors and actresses in Hollywood. You know, up until the 70s, baseball players, if they were with one team or one organization, that was it. They were stuck there for life. But because of a guy named Curt Flood, he led the way to be a free agent, and now that changed everything. So they ball players used to kind of be stuck, like actors and actresses were. So R.I.P. Olivia de Havilland. She made it to 104. And finally, the third person who died over the weekend, a legendary guitar player, the great Peter Green, who founded the band Fleetwood Mac. But they were all over in England. Peter Green, being from England, a fantastic bluesy guitar player. When he founded Fleetwood Mac, they were called Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. And they asked him why he named the band Fleetwood Mac. He said, well, because after I leave, I want those guys to still be able to have a band. And of course, Fleetwood Mac, named after the drummer Mick Fleetwood and the bass guitarist John McVie. But Peter Green was the leader of that band. And, you know, he took a lot of acid back in the 60s when Fleetwood Mac was coming up. And he kind of never came back, a lot like Syd Barrett from Pink Floyd. But Peter Green said, you know, I've made enough money. I'm going to leave. He gave away a lot of his money to charity. And then, of course, when he left Fleetwood Mac, the other two, the rhythm section, moved to Los Angeles, where they met Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks, and then they became a huge pop band. And when they were making those songs, John McVie said, this doesn't sound like we sounded, you know, when we had our band with Peter Green in England. And the producer was saying, yeah, this sounds a lot like a lot greener. Like, this is going to make a lot more money. And that's what happened. But Peter Green died over the weekend at the age of 73. As a matter of fact, let's play. And by the way, Peter Green wrote the song Black Magic Woman. It never became a huge hit for Fleetwood Mac, but a year after he wrote it, it became a huge hit for Santana, Black Magic Woman. But I want to play a little Peter Green right now because he was so incredible as a guitar player. This is Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. Let's play some of this song. It's called Oh Well.
About the shape I'm in, I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you, I might not give the answers that you want me to. Now when I talk to God, I knew he'd understand. He said, stick by me and I'll be your guiding hand. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to.
There he is, the great Peter Green, singing and playing the fantastic guitar with the original Fleetwood Mac. And he died over the weekend at 73, RIP. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. So with this being the last week in July and the extra $600 a week on top of the regular unemployment is going to go away, this whole coronavirus situation, there's a lot of people freaking out. A lot of people think they're going to be losing their houses. They're going to be kicked out of their apartments. Today, there's going to be an announcement, another $1,200 stimulus, another $1,200 coronavirus stimulus check is going to be sent out to the people who qualify for that again to help get them through while they try to figure out what they're going to do with the unemployment. Look for somewhere for an extra $200 to $400 a week in unemployment to come. They still got to get that worked out, but they are going to announce today another $1,200 coronavirus stimulus. They just got to get everything open up. I mean, I just mentioned how 68% of Americans who were collecting the extra $600 a week on top of the regular unemployment, 68% of them, that's more money than they make at their jobs. And a lot of them aren't going back to their jobs that are coming back. Why would they if they're making more money to not work than they are to work? So that can't continue. So that's the latest on that. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Well, this past weekend, baseball returned. Got a chance to watch some baseball. I'm a big sports fan, and for the first time in several months, sitting down on my couch in my living room watching a live ball game, boy, it's something I'll never take for granted again. And on Saturday, they showed a baseball triple header on Fox, and they don't do that very often. And when they announced that a couple of weeks ago, they sold out all of their commercials in three baseball games. Now, baseball games are a little over 3 hours each. So that's over half a day of programming. That's over 12 hours of programming. And it was a huge moneymaker for the network Fox. I mean, it shows you how much, I mean, coronavirus is hurting so many people. But the television networks, they're missing out on millions and millions and millions of dollars in ad revenue, commercial time, because these sports games haven't been happening. And so they made a bunch of money on Saturday. Fox finally, for the first time in a while, when it came to television commercials. You know, that's why everybody's so gung-ho on football being played this year. Even though there's not going to be either anybody in the stands, there's not going to be anybody at NFL football games this year, or there's going to be about 25% capacity in all the stadiums. There's so much money at stake, not just for the football players and the coaches and the organizations, but for the television networks. That's where they make their biggest amount of money. And it's the same with college football as well. They say if there's no college football this year, ESPN, ABC owns ESPN, they're gonna miss out on $1 billion. $1 billion in advertising revenue. That's why they're doing whatever it takes. Empty stadiums, 20 people in a stadium, whatever the case may be. They're doing whatever it takes to have these games happen and to have them on television. And I'll be honest with you. For the sports fan like me, just watching the games at home, it doesn't really matter if there's fans in the stands or not. You're still going to get a ball game. You know what Fox did, Coleman, over this past weekend, they, with their computer-generated graphics, they put people in stands. they piped in crowd noise. So if you were watching, you'd hardly even know that there wasn't fans in the stands. And then some of the stadiums put cardboard cutouts of people and dogs and all kinds of things. So you saw them on television.
Does it take away knowing that when you hear the crowd noise and somebody hits a home on a line drive, or when you hear the yays and the boos, does it take away knowing that it's not authentic?
Not really. I didn't really notice it. I was just enjoying watching a baseball game.
So you could have had it on mute and just looked at it, and it wouldn't have made a difference to you. Because my whole thing is, if you really enjoy the sport, the crowd reaction should. I know most people feed off the crowd reaction, but I think if you really enjoyed the sport, whether they have a crowd or not, whether you hear noise or not, it shouldn't really make a difference. Like having a fake yays and a fake boos, I think it kind of takes away from the authenticity of the actual sport itself.
Watching it on television, it's not going to make that big of a difference. When football starts. Where it's going to make a difference is, for instance, the Saints aren't going to have their normal dome field advantage. And this year, the Saints, they're one of the three or four favorites, top three or four teams, to win the Super Bowl.
As every year, yeah.
Well, not every year, but this year especially. And what's going to suck is they're not going to have their normal dome field advantage on opening day when Tom Brady leads the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in here in 5 weeks, whatever that is. It's going to be so quiet inside the dome, they're not going to have the normal dome field advantage. That's where it's going to suck.
Okay.
But as far as watching the game on television, now with the way they pump in crowd noise to your surround sound, and with the way that they can digitally put people in the stands, that's how they're going to do it. I mean, it was just so refreshing this weekend sitting down watching a live sporting event. You know, for the first time in months.
This is the most important question. We at the John Austin Show, we are accepting ad revenue, right? If you want to sponsor something, please give us a call or shoot us an email.
Yeah, we always are. And you can text us if you're you fired up for football? Or are you like some of the people I see on social media, you're not happy with the NFL right now, because there's a lot of people down on the NFL. They say they're going to boycott, but I've heard that before. But once the Saints start winning games, and then all of a sudden people start watching again. You could text us. I mean, are you as excited as I am to watch sports again? Or are you down on sports right now because of all of the social justice stuff that I see people being down on social media? Text us at 504-260-9595. Keep it short and sweet. And don't text while you're driving. Put either your first name or your initials at the end of the text. If it's good, we'll read it coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Just when I was telling you how excited I was to watch baseball this past weekend, got some breaking news. 8 baseball players on the Florida Marlins baseball team and 2 of their coaches just tested positive for coronavirus, and their home opener tonight against the Baltimore Orioles in Miami has been canceled.
Oh.
This is what we're worried about. This is what we're worried about come the NFL season. And now think about it. The Florida Marlins baseball team this past weekend played a weekend series up in Philadelphia against the Phillies. And so if all of those Marlins just tested positive, they're going to have to test all of the Phillies. We have to see what happens. But just when baseball season opened this past weekend, they get through one weekend and there's already a game canceled because at least 8 players on the Florida Marlins and 2 of their coaches have tested positive for COVID-19.
They just can't find 8 people to replace them right quick just to have a game.
You know, that's a good question, Coleman. Why can't they just grab 8 guys from their AAA team? You know, when the New Orleans, when we had the Zephyrs and then the Baby Cakes, the last couple of years, we were the Marlins farm team. But they don't have that ready to go tonight, and so that game has been canceled. So 3 or 4 days in to the shortened baseball season here in 2020, we've already had our first game canceled tonight because of coronavirus. That sucks. Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And speaking of Florida, it's another Florida man, and he is literally flipping out. Not figuratively, because many Florida men and Florida women flip out figuratively. This Florida man is literally flipping out. We'll explain next on the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all week. Actually, all morning. Today's Monday.
Oh, yeah.
It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And it's actually the dumbest thing I saw all morning. Florida man tries to evade arrest by cartwheeling away from cops. Hey, he flipped out. Literally. We know a lot of Florida men and Florida women flip out figuratively, but this guy actually flipped out. A Florida man was caught on camera, and by the way, we've got this video. We're putting it up on our website, bayou957.com. A Florida man was caught on camera trying to evade arrest by cartwheeling away from the police.
You idiot!
The footage shows the gymnastics enthusiast blocking the path of a truck in a Wawa supermarket in Orlando, Florida, by doing a flip in the middle of the roadway. Officers took him down for apparently blocking traffic, but the man was able to wiggle out of their grasp. He then launched into a cartwheel to try to get away.
I'm on meth.
But he didn't get very far. The Orange County Sheriff's Department identified the man as 40-year-old Gianfranco Fernandez.
You know what? After seeing the video, I would have never guessed he was 40. He moved like he was 21, 22. He was very spry and agile with his cartwheeling.
He is moving pretty svelte.
Yeah.
Isn't he cool?
I'd have never thought 40. That was impressive.
He was charged with battery on a law enforcement officer and resisting arrest. So even if you try to cartwheel away from police, that still is technically considered resisting arrest.
Yeah. He did a good job. Well, he did a bad job, but the cartwheel itself, if I had to judge him just by the cartwheel, I would have to say 9.5. I mean, the cartwheel was amazing. It's just that, yeah, the cops beat him, you know, got him after that. But
just when you thought you couldn't see or read or hear anything else crazy that a Florida man does, they come up with something new. Here's a Florida man. He tries to evade arrest by cartwheeling away from cops. And we told you about the game, the fun game that you can play now.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go to Google, type in your birthday, just the month and the day, and then type in Florida man. And then hit Google, and something will pop up, a crazy headline, because on every day of the year, there's a crazy, crazy Florida man story.
I wonder whose birthday got the Florida cartwheel guy. Was that yesterday or that was today?
Well, this just happened. So, I mean, I saw this story. What's today, the 24th?
No, the 27th.
Oh, today's the 27th. This was late last week. This story was printed on Thursday. So
whoever was on the 23rd, happy birthday. July 23rd, that's your Florida man story. A guy does a cartwheel to evade police.
Yeah, this if you're a July 23rd birthday person, this could be your Florida man story. But try that when you get a chance. That's a fun game. It's fun for everybody. All ages. Everybody from the kids to the parents to the grandparents. Everybody could have fun with that game. Just go to Google, type in your birthday, just the month and the day, and then type in Florida man and see what crazy person from Florida did that day on your birthday. Well, anyways, on today's segment of our show, the Florida man who tried to evade arrest by cartwheeling away from police officers. That's the dumbest thing I saw all morning. And that is being put on our website right now, BayU957.com, if you want to see that. And I also just put up a real nice video of Eva Longoria, the actress. She's doing a handstand in a really nice outfit. Yeah, so we put up a few things on our website. Go check them out at BayU957.com. BayU95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So if you want to see that video, it's pretty funny, of the Florida man who tries cartwheeling away from police. The best part about the video is, once they have him down and they're cuffing him, he gets away. And instead of trying to run away, he tries to cartwheel away. That's the best part of the video. We've got that video for you on our website at BayU957.com. And we also put up a video right next to that of actress Eva Longoria, who I've always been infatuated with. She's doing a handstand, headstand. And she's doing a headstand, and that's some workout outfit she's got on. Wow. As they say in Italy, Madonna mia. Anyways, for those two videos, go check them out on our website at Bayou957.com. We're in our commercial free ride right now. We're in it here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.